This is Gene McMillan interviewing Mr. Stanley Sherwood at his home, 10 Downey Road, Sharon, Connecticut. The date is February 22nd, 2012. Mrs. Audrey Whitbeck is assisting. May I have your name, please?
Stanley Sherwood.
And when were you born?
January 31st, 1930.
What were your parents' names?
My mother was Grace Sherwood and my dad was Stanley Sr.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
Yes.
Would you name them?
Got Butch Sherwood, and Ginger Sherwood, and Roy Sherwood, and Billy Sherwood, and
George
Sherwood.
Did you have sisters?
Yes, I had sisters.
And their names?
Betty and Lois.
Where did you go to school?
We went into a grade school in Lakeville, and then we graduated from Regional High School in Falls Village.
Did you go to Grove Street School?
Yes.
Ah. And what grades?
I think it was third grade.
What are some of the jobs that you've had, people that you have worked with in town? You mentioned Mr. Kiefer, George Kiefer.
Yeah, I worked with George Kiefer, planting trees in New Jersey and Massachusetts. And, that's about all. I went out, you know, did town work, kicking trees down and topping them.
And you were telling me about pruning trees, how you would prune trees by hand. What did you do? Did you climb the tree?
Well, we had the ropes back in those days and the saddles. And you throw the rope up ahead of you and pull yourself up and prune the trees there and then pull yourself up. Throw the rope above you until you got the top of the tree. And you can roll the top of the tree with a pole saw and a handsaw.
So it was all done by hand?
Yep.
No chainsaws?
No chainsaws on the tree. Only in takedowns. Mm-hmm. We took them down, we had to use the chainsaw.
Who was Bert Kelsey?
Well, Bert, he and his mother and father lived in the Conic, you know, for years. He had cheese for good. Good pies.
Oh, good.
And Burke and I worked together, and one time we went down to Fisher's Island. I think I said that before. And we worked for Reese Harris and Dave Harris for about a month.
Where was Fisher's Island?
Oh, Jesus, off the coast down there. I don't know exactly.
New Jersey?
No, off of Connecticut.
Ah, okay. Around Block Island?
I would say so, probably south of it.
And did you work for Tom Zetterstrom?
Yes. We started a tree work for Ole Zetterstrom. Ole. Tom was a brother. I mean, a son.
Okay.
We started tree working for him for 4 years or something like that. Then I went down and took my tree license and passed the test. I went in business for myself.
And what was the business that you started?
Well, we started the nursery business, the greenhouse business right there in town. You know.
What's now called the Salisbury Garden Center?
That's right.
Ah. And when you bought the property, was there any buildings there, or was it just a piece of land?
No, there was a house. You know. No heating. In a barn out back, and I had to get a wood stove. put in a living room, and that's all we had for heat until, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. And George V. Pushnell put the heat in for me. We had heat out of that.
Did you build that large building that's there now?
Yep.
And when you started the nursery business, did you know people that wanted your services, or did you have to go out and advertise? How did you get customers?
Well, we, you know, living where we did, right on the main street. You know, we advertised like for the Journal. And mainly word of mouth.
That's always the best.
And in a small town, what are you going to do?
Well, it's true. It's true. Yeah. And did, how long did you have the business? From
what? The 3 years?
57 to 88?
Yeah.
And to whom did you sell the business?
Well, I don't know his name. Not the guy who owns it now.
No, it was Nielsen, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was an awful guy.
It's okay. It's okay. These buttons work. Okay. Tell me something that you used to do as a child. What did you do for fun?
Well, we had I told you, I think last week we had a ski jump in every knoll.
That's what I want. Tell us about the ski jumps.
Penny couch, and then we had one over in the Hanging Rock, and right there in the center of town, and lock up. And we used to leave our skis down at the ski jump. And our ski, jump our skis, our boots, stuff like that. Get off the bus, run around, jump.
Did you have skis that had clamps, or did you have to tie them to your boots?
Well, when we first set out, you're right, we used to have straps over the skis, went through the skis, and we used to take a rubber tires,
mm-hmm,
and cut them,
mm-hmm,
put them over there. And then we, when we got, you know, in the teenage, you know, 15, 16, we got the regular skis with the blindings. And Satrius had a made skis right there in town where the garage is now. It's pretty good.
Which garage?
Where you go across the railroad tracks around that circle and get down to the... There's a garage right there before you go down to the ski jump.
Okay. All right. Who were some of the people that skied with you besides the Satries?
Well, there was George Miner, you know, our age, you know, mm-hmm, Gunnar Jensen, and Roy and Billy, and Jimmy Derwin.
Did George jump too?
Your brother George? Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Yeah. He went to Lake Placid.
Now, tell us about Lake Placid and brother George.
Well, he went to Lake Placid and, I don't know what the heck he did, working. But anyway, he skied there and jumped there, and he had Jay Rann and... he had a coach, which we never had, you know.
Oh.
And that made Roy, I mean George, an expert skier. And the war came along, and he had to go to war. He had to go to war. And had a laugh. He got on the... they put him on the shooting range, you know, and shoot the safety gun in and train him. See if he can shoot and stuff like that. My brother George was an expert. So he put about 5 shots in the hole, as big as a dime.
Oh my word.
So he didn't even send him over across. He made him an instructor.
Sure. If he was that good, he could instruct.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But we had a rifle range on the backyard.
Oh, you
can
did?
Can you believe that?
Sure. Where was your backyard? Where did you grow up?
Butch lives there now.
Okay.
In a house just by the cemetery.
On East Main Street? Same side as the cemetery?
Yeah, no. Well, yeah.
No, I'm 44.
Yeah. 44, yeah.
Okay. Then you must have done some hunting as a young man.
You couldn't believe how many deer I shot in a lifetime.
Good for you.
We shot deer.
Wild turkey?
Wild turkey, got turkey hunting. I had a turkey before anybody else did.
Oh.
And I got them off call. Get the call, give me a call. And then they were turkey hunting, and I shot a few turkeys over your yard.
Yeah, that's true.
And I shot that coyote, and Fred was like, did you get a turkey? I said, no, I just shot a coyote. He says, you fool. He says, there's about 9 turkeys over here. You scare them all.
Oh, okay.
Oh yeah.
Yes, you did something as a first. What?
Yeah, got the first turkey in town of Salisbury, but nobody was talking about turkey hunting back in those days.
Well, they reintroduced the turkeys, didn't they?
Yep.
When was that about? I can't remember.
It had to be the mid-50s, wasn't it?
Was that better?
No.
Oh, there was something in Judge Warner's journal about the wild turkey flocks that were around here that have multiplied. Oh my, the Lakeville Journal in June 4th, 1981, Stubb Sherwood learns to talk turkey. And that was written by
Daniel Jacobs.
Quite a nice article, too. And a turkey feather along with it. Was it good eating or was it tough?
Oh, no, they're good eating.
Well, you'll have to come in my backyard because I have a flock of 13 turkeys.
No, that many?
Yep.
Oh, chicks or hens?
I've got a couple of hens and about 7 or 8 little ones. And there's one tom. Yeah. And they go through the yard making noise. They don't stay, but they do go through. Yeah, so I have seen wild turkeys.
Yeah, yeah.
Excellent. Did you do any fishing?
Are you kidding? I fished. Oh, I guided the Housatonic for Harold for 12 years. I taught fly fishing and guided them in the river there. And then I fly fished in Chile.
Oh,
Argentina. My. Went to Russia, fly fishing,
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Did you do Alaska?
I went to Alaska 5 times. One time I got tangled up with a guy. I don't know how it happened.
Oh, my word. Oh, gracious. I'm being shown another newspaper article of, and this one is Stanley Sherwood cast his line and talking about all of the fish that he caught.
Picture Roy and him when they were little.
Okay. He and his brother Roy when they were small, and it looks like they've got a dozen good-sized trout. And then we have another picture, and he's holding a large fish. Not that I know anything about it. And then we've got some flies that he... Did you make your own flies?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. There's a Royal Coachman and a tan Humphrey and a green machine salmon sky, an elk hair
caddis,
and it looks like a woolly bugger.
Woolly bugger, yeah.
All right. And what kind of fish do you catch with a woolly bugger?
Big trout, big fish.
Big fish.
Yeah.
Big mouth bass, big trout, that sort of thing?
Yeah. One time I was fishing down the Housatonic River, We usually go up and down to the Route 7 and go up to, up towards Paul Village,
mm-hmm.
about a mile and a half, and drive down to the brook, you know, the river.
Yep.
And there's a span there, probably with about that much water, a little ripple, you know. Mm-hmm. Like a fish or a trout. Well, I got in a bunch of smallmouth bass. I bet you I must have caught 35 to 40 of them.
Oh, wonderful.
I had a great time because they really fight.
Yes, they do. They're hard.
Yeah. So I had a good time. But I had a good time fishing. There ain't many guys that fished all over the world.
No, that's... You've been holding out on me. You didn't tell me that the last time. Audrey told me on the way home that you'd fished around the world.
Yeah, she did. Yeah.
But that's wonderful. You've had a good time.
Yeah, I've done...
You've done some wonderful things.
Yeah, yeah. And over the rush, we got... She said, laugh. We got over there. And the Russian, our helicopters are clean and nice and shiny. He says, their helicopter are dirty and, oh, jeez, I said, oh, I hope we make it. And then we got in the helicopter to fly out to the Pinoy, and there was four people besides me and two other guys, and dropped them off in the middle of the woods. I said, what are they going to do? He said, they're hiking.
Oh.
It was nowhere. And then we got down to the Pinoy River, and we were fishing down there like that. And never got open.
Right.
This guy comes down with two mules, a wagon, right, full of wood, right through the river.
Oh, my.
I almost flipped.
Good gracious.
Yeah. I don't know where he comes from because it's 50 miles from nowhere.
Oh, my goodness. Did you have any connection with Mount Riga?
Well, I worked up there for one summer, and my job was to, they got a log cabin when you go up to the dam, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And around a little bit to the big house there, and back there's a log cabin. And I stayed at a log cabin all summer, and I used to grow carrots and beets and stuff like that, and raise chickens, and people would give me orders
mm-hmm.
for the next week. They ordered chicken, their vegetables and stuff like that. I did that all summer.
I say that's a good idea.
Oh, yeah.
They ought to do that now.
Yeah, I stayed up there, had an old 35 Ford, and I stayed up there until, way until October. Nobody's up there.
No, not then. Were there huckleberries up on the mountain then?
Yeah, they were further up.
Okay.
Towards Massachusetts.
Okay.
Up on the left hand, right hand side. Yeah. Remember the guy who used to, Huckleberry, he used to call Huckleberry? He used to
bring
up there.
Yeah, and pick him and bring him in.
Yeah, he used to have a bucket about, wasn't very big, probably three quarts.
Like
that. He'd go walk all the way up the mountain, pick those things, and bring them downtown and sell them.
Oh, my word. Well, I don't think I've ever seen a Huckleberry.
Yeah.
What do they look like?
Well, they're just little round ones like that. They're not very big.
What color?
Like a pea.
Okay. Blue. What color are they?
Blue. Like dark blue.
Really dark blue.
Yeah.
Do they have seeds? Do they have seeds in them?
No.
No. It's just a round berry. Okay.
Almond.
I've seen elderberries, so I know what they are.
Oh, yeah, that's different.
That's different. Okay. I'm backtracking to the ski jumps. You were very specific about some of the places that you had these ski jumps. And one was by the lockup.
Yeah.
One was...
Up where
off of Cobble Road.
Sonny Road, Sonny Righties lived there up in the... Hanging Rock.
Yeah, Hanging Rock.
Hanging Rock.
Yeah, it's good.
That would go down towards Fowler Street.
Yeah. Uncle Sonny used to live up there. And we had a ski jumping center in town. We had to watch it right there because up there with the hemlock has along the road across from the St. John's Church.
Chiwala now?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. I'm so far in the future compared to what you're telling me about that sometimes it's hard for me to identify these places.
Yeah.
I'm working at it though.
That's all right.
You said there was one by the Chittenden House?
I think, and that's the one you're talking about by Chihuahua.
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about.
Okay,
yeah.
It's coming down that hill. Okay. I've had references to Roaring Oaks. What's that? Or Hanging Oaks, or...
Roaring Oaks.
Roaring Oaks is what is it?
It's Locust Avenue. It's a dead end street.
Hanging Rock. I mean,
and Hanging Rock is right off.
Were they vines that the kids swung from?
The trees.
Oh, okay. Okay. Is there anything that I haven't asked you that you'd like to talk about? And I see your wife is nodding her head. Give me some clues.
Well, I think I covered it all. The lockup and the sticky holder. The barns down back. And
yeah. How long did you jump every, at the meets? How old were you when you stopped jumping off the hill, the big hill?
Jesus, I can't.
When you started in the business?
Probably was about the time,
Yeah.
And that would be about 1957-ish.
Yeah.
So you had been jumping as a young boy through a young man.
Yeah. Yeah, because they had the ski jumps. They had 20 meter, 40 meter, and 60 meter. And we used to go out and jump. Gunnar Jensen, George Bonner, Roy Billy Nye, Bruce Locke. We used to go down and jump on the 20 and the 40 all weekend long.
You must have done a lot of practicing.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of fun.
You're supposed to.
Yeah.
You're supposed to.
Yeah, because we leave. Like I said before, we left our skis over there and boots and stuff. Nobody brought them. Then the local guys used to come down where we were jumping. And start a great big fire, and they sit there drinking beer and watch us jump, and had a big fire going.
And you all had a good time.
We had a damn good time.
And that's what it should be.
Yep.
Weren't you a director of SWASA, Salisbury Winter Sports?
Yeah.
Very, very young when you were a director on that one.
I was on a select man. I think I told you that would happen. Oh, I was supposed to say.
No. Were you there for the 1950 FIS meet? That big, big meet.
What's an FIS?
That was an international meet
of
ski jumpers. On that one, so and we must have had 40 or 50 entries for that.
That many, no kidding.
It was a big field.
Yeah.
Was it specifically jumping?
Yes.
No cross country, just downhill jumping.
Well, I can't remember. I don't think they had cross country. I don't think it was a combined. No.
Okay.
I'm not sure. No.
When did they start giving prizes for the ski jumps?
Forever and ever.
Yeah.
Ever and ever.
Even back in the centuries.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
In the 40s, yeah.
Ah. Is that when it started with the centuries in the 40s?
Yeah, they started, yeah.
Okay.
They had, remember they had benches all on the side there?
Yeah.
on the right-hand side where you take the gym.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's, you know, they've got those, but they don't use them anymore.
Well, everything's been built up and expanded so much now that there probably isn't anything really left of what you knew when you were jumping.
Of course, they rebuilt the hill, and the hill is, because when we jumped the hill, you know, brothers and stuff like that, the jump wasn't right, you know. You jumped off the jump, instead of falling on the hill, you were
up in the air.
Yeah, about 50 yards up the air, and you, you know.
Oh my.
Now they rebuilt the jump, right? Mm. And so it's, when you come off the jump, you know, you're going faster, but you only get about 20 feet above the ground, and you follow the contour.
Ah.
Which is better instead of hanging up there 50 yards.
Less chance of getting hurt.
You got it.
I think I'm going to run out of tape, so I'm going to stop at this point.
All right.
And thank you.